applicants were interviewed and decisions made to hire them. That's according to a lawsuit filed this week in state court. The suit by the Public First Law Center also alleges that the region's evaluation of Hensel's first-year performance was also illegally conducted in secret this past October. The public interest law firm is not asking for the court to invalidate Hensel's hiring or that of her advisor, but it does want the court to order UH to release minutes and recordings of executive sessions where the discussions and decisions took place. A spokesman said the university has not been served with the lawsuit and has not reviewed the filing. One of the families suing Kamehameha Schools will be allowed to remain anonymous, at least for now, as the case challenging the school's admissions policy giving preference to Native Hawaiian children proceeds. That's according to a federal judge. Magistrate Judge Micah Smith wrote that the family has not made a strong showing that they have a reasonable fear of harm and could face retaliation for participating in the case. Still, the volume of threats levied against the leaders of the organization suing Kamehameha Students for Fair Admissions was enough to conclude that the family could face at least some hostile or threatening messages and online comments if their identities are revealed. And finally, a handful of Kauai residents have been tracking the spread of coconut rhinoceros beetles, documenting impacted trees, as well as breeding, treatment, and trap sites. It's part of a community mapping project funded by a $30,000 county innovation grant, with CRB recently found on Molokai for the first time and rediscovered on Maui. Some say the Kauai project is a model for other Hawaii community efforts in areas already inundated with the invasive pest. The Niuola Kauhale Community Mapping Project is being led by Eola Kako Hawaii, a Kauai nonprofit dedicated to preserving, protecting, and restoring Hawaii's natural resources. To read more about these and other stories, please visit civilbeat.org.
Tuning in to Kauai Community Radio this morning. It's now time for Deep Dive into Water Safety. I'm Radio Annie, your engineer. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Annie. How are you?
I am my own personal hurricane. You know how you get in that mode?
Yes.
That's what I did. I'm a hurricane.
This is kind of a good show. We've almost done this show for a year. We started last May with your flexibility to do this show with me, and we've done it for almost a whole year. So today we're going to talk about the progress, and we hope Mayor Kawakami will join us at 10:15 because he was our first guest almost a year ago.
That's right, he was our first guest, and
yes,
he talked very poignantly about messaging for water safety.
Yes, so I'm sure he can tell us all about the progress we've made so far, even though it seems like small steps. Small steps are what we have to take in this area. And then he'll talk, I'm sure he will, about messaging.
Yes.
And in this whole entire year, I was just looking at what we've done because you have helped
dozens of interviews,
yes.
Right?
Yes, you have. And now you've
yes,
put
you
it
have.
Up on a podcast. Uh-huh. And so now we're in a podcast, and we have probably by next month have 36 interviews we've done.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of international interviews from Dubai to South Africa to Italy and to the UK and here
New
in the
Zealand.
U.S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
New Zealand and Australia. So we'll talk about some of that today, but we'll highlight that next month.
Yeah, and I'm excited about that because it's a worldwide conversation. And community radio, like, that's the whole point, is to tell stories, start conversations for the community good. And what this show does is really gets people talking and sharing strategies to keep people safe in the water.
Right.
That's great.
So let's start. I have kind of a monologue that I used to start out by saying, we started this show because of the 2025 Hawaii Water Safety Plan, where the governor said, if you take it, read it, and take it to heart, you can save lives. Well, I started to change that as I've talked to more people around the world, because we know that drowning is a global public health crisis. It is in Hawaii. Drowning is a public health crisis. We just interviewed Allison Schaffers, who wrote was the main editor and wrote most of it for the Hawaii Water Safety Plan. She's also a journalist for the Honolulu Advertiser. But she made a point of making the point that Hawaii, it is a public health crisis, drowning.
Yes, and we have the second highest drowning rate in
the
nation.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, big deal.
So every year in Hawaii, people drown. Keiki, kapuna, residents, visitors. And every time we say the same thing. It's tragic, it's unfortunate, the ocean is powerful. But here's the truth we're not saying clearly enough. Drowning is not tragic, it's preventable. And when something preventable keeps happening, we have to ask why. Why don't we have universal water safety education in our schools? Why are lifeguards, the ones saving lives, still not fully recognized as first responders? Why don't we have a unified system to track drowning, fatal and non-fatal, so we can truly understand the problem? We're not lacking the knowledge. We're not lacking the expertise. We're not lacking people who care. We're lacking alignment. We're lacking urgency. And we're lacking accountability. In every other area of public safety, we act. We build systems. We pass laws. We change behavior. The ocean should be no different. In Hawaii, the ocean is culture, its identity, its livelihood. And yet, we continue to lose people to something we understand and can prevent. The question is not whether we can stop drowning. The question is whether we will. This is not about blame. This is not about responsibility. This is about responsibility, because the next drowning is not random. It's predictable. And that means it's preventable. This is Deep Dive into Water Safety, Annie.
Whoa, you got brutal with that. Like, that is very true stuff. Like, for a monologue about drowning. And it addresses some of the real problems that we have. I mean, we've got some great successes in water safety as well here.
Yes, we will talk about those.
But some of those problems revolve around water safety in schools. That's where it starts. And also proper acknowledgement of our lifeguards.
As first responders.
Yeah. The ultimate first responder.
Right.
In the water. And the sort of benefits that gives them as first responders.
Right.
That they are not receiving.
There's messages through all of these interviews that came through. Consistently, no matter who I talk to, drowning is a public health crisis globally, locally. Drowning is preventable. Drowning is a process. For every fatal drowning, there are 2 to 6 non-fatal drownings. The first 2 to 3 minutes are critical for a good recovery, and CPR breaths with compressions are important for any parent who has a child around water. database is important to have that's with standardized labels, and working together in a collaborative way. And I think we'll be able to talk with the mayor about that. But that seems to be what everybody is talking about. Everybody wants to learn from what everybody else is doing. And when we started the show, we said we wanted to talk to people who were doing research, who could give us evidence-based facts based on good research. And that's what we've been doing. So,
What are some of the notable ones of the research that you remember? Like, I think about Dr. Yanagihara, who has her
protocol with jellyfish, Sting No More. Yes.
Yeah.
That's still progressing in the Honolulu Ocean Safety crew with their medical director and Kurt Lager. They like what they saw, and hopefully it's going to be used. I just talked to her yesterday.
Yeah, which is fascinating to me because the ways that we were treating jellyfish stings were, like, they seem kind of intuitive. You're like, do it this way. But it was wrong. What's really the right thing to do is something opposite. And so Dr. Yanagihara's research is now being implemented in the Honolulu lifeguard facilities first. And now will be spread around.
She's like one of a handful of experts in jellies. She just came back from Harvard, where she's doing a sabbatical for, I just talked to her over the course of the year, helping them understand something that she knows a lot about.
Yeah, and firsthand experience. She gave us her story about being stung, and I think I was listening to it with my mouth open, like, what?
So she's got a website called Sting No More, which she needs help making it look better. But her product is available for us, and the spray is what we can easily carry around with us.
Hey, so. And if there's anyone listening out there who's a website guru and wants to do a good thing, for free, a good thing, we can get you in contact with Dr. Yanagihara about just making a simple site to distribute Sting No More to people. Another one,
I think Mike Tipton is really the fundamental piece that we talked to about his work with
drowning.
The
physiology of drowning.
Yes, the gasp response. And so that's very important. And we ended up collaborating with him with Float to Live here in Kauai with their program, with their campaign for National Water Safety Prevention Day, which is in July. We did that here in Kauai. Find Your Float. That's
Find
the
Your
name.
Float.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, and they have that in Australia as well, right?
Yes.
The idea of floating, maybe not as a starfish, because your feet don't need to breathe. It's your head that needs to breathe. So find whatever is comfortable for you to float to keep yourself up in the water.
Right.
Uh-huh. So, and that's a good experiment for you to do yourself and also with your kids.
I think Ian Couch was interesting for us, Annie. Mm-hmm. He was one of the first because they have the world's toughest row. Come into Hanalei, and he was nice enough to come in and talk to us. And he gave us that key phrase, emotional inoculation.
Right. Tell me what that is again.
That's how he trains people to be safe. And he gave us two things. He talked about how he gets people ready for the race by getting them to envision, like, what could happen. And so prepares them that way. And he gave us a case where somebody had a bad experience, but they had prepared for it, and they were able to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's a piece of learning that is both refreshing and important and a lifesaver as well. So all of these interviews that we've been talking about and, like, you know, word salad throwing at you, you can find at both kkcr.org. We've got in the archive section, hover around there and click around, and you can find the page for Deep Dive into Water Safety. You can also go onto your phone and wherever you get your podcasts, be it Apple, Amazon, Spotify, we're on all the big ones. You can find Deep Dive into Water Safety there and listen to all of the episodes that we have there. Episode notes, too, you can read that. And this is a labor of love, and it is important work. And we're doing it to make sure that people are safe in the water, prevent drownings. the radio station doing what they can to prevent drownings, like, I'm not going to go out and save you, but I can help give information to you and your family.
I think one of the most fun interviews was talking to Fabrizio Pellego in Italy.
About dogs.
Newfoundlands that they use as lifeguards and train them to go in helicopters and jump out.
Yeah, and what function does the dog give to life-saving?
They go out and rescue people. And Newfoundlands are one of those dogs. And if you go back to World War II, they were used extensively there. And so he's had two dogs. And the reason he started is he had a Newfoundland named Mars. And he was at a lake. And his daughter was out there. And the dog saw she was in trouble and saved her. Sorry, Annie. I thought that was on air. That was the mayor who's calling in for us, which is going to be fun because he was our first guest. Mm-hmm. And he's come back.
Yeah,
this is great.
He's running a little bit late.
Okay.
So maybe we can play one of the clips that we had and then
sure.
He'll call back.
Yeah.
And then we'll be.
Yeah, that
right
sounds
on.
Good.
Okay, so the first clip I have, do you want to play the money one, the first responders one, or pushy-pushy?
I think this is Dr. Patrick Morgan, who is the medical director for His Majesty's Coast Guard in the UK, as well as being an anesthesiologist and a rescue flood specialist, along with Adrian Mayhew, who came back on, who they are all friends with Mike Tipton, and they are international experts in drowning and flood response. So this is a pretty funny little clip from an interview we did about CPR. And what they teach is...
What a pushy, pushy,
pushy,
sparky,
pushy.
Sparky.
No. Pushy, pushy, blowy, blowy, uh-huh. Sparky, sparky.
Love
so,
it. Here we go.
And it's reminding them a lot of the skills, and that's one of the nice things about the drowning prevention world and training lifeguards is you're not training them to be a lifeguard tomorrow. You're training them to be a member of a community who can do this any time of the day or night. Being a lifeguard, it's a bit like being a priest or a doctor. Once you've got it, it never goes away. That's it. You know, once you've been taught pushy, pushy, blowy once, you can usually remember it. And I've done some medical legal cases where a guy actually came up to me afterwards and said, oh, I just want to say thanks. And I said, why? I said, well, this person did die, but I pretty much did what you told me to do 20 years ago. I was like, did I? He went, yep, you were on the video. It was you. That's what I did. I said, I was 20 years out of date, but I still did pushy, pushy, blowy, blowy. And the individual survived to get to hospital. And that's the key bit is, you know, you're not training them in drowning prevention. You're not training them in water safety. You're giving them a life skill. And it's a life skill that never goes away. And again, that's the other key thing to sell when they're talking about taking it into schools is this is a life skill. It's a bit like, don't put your fingers in a plug socket because you'll electrocute yourself. You know, don't go play in rip current. And by the way, this is what rip current looks like. You know, all those little things, they're life skills. They're not just one-off events. Sorry, I got
when myself. When you do it, it's a gift, isn't it? You know, we often, but you know, for a family member to know that their person's poorly and you've done that and you've done the best of your ability, it's a gift of closure as well. So if they've succeeded, great. And they're very rare events and going by a lottery ticket, well done, because, you know, they are rare events and they're rare enough to survive. But at least somebody, you know, within the community there stopped and did something. So, and they did it well. So that's, you know, I always look at it as a gift. You know, you get told a life skill. It's a gift from one person to the next lifesaver that can use that gift to either train more people or they do it for real. Either way, it's a gift.
Yeah, it's a gift here to have the lifeguards here. And a lot of people don't understand that. Somebody just told me yesterday, she said, I never thought of having water safety in my toolkit as a parent, but I know that it's very important. So I don't think most people think about that. There's layers of protection for having car seats and you know, the stove and all those kinds of things, fires, but we're not doing anything in water safety like we should, as you have said. It should be.
And I think the thing as well, Margaret, is that water generally is in a remote location, either a beach or a river. So keeping somebody doing the basics very well may just keep them ready to come out. You know, they are rare events, but this isn't an urban environment where there's a truck nearby with red lights flashing and that lot. This is not going to happen like this, and it's not going to be in a mall where first aiders are on scene. This is in a remote location, and this is the argument of getting parents involved. So kids learn it, parents learn it, school kids learn it, teachers learn it. When there's remote locations, somebody can give that gift a chance, you know, for somebody's life. So that's in my mind, you know.
And the science to back that up is that we know that if somebody does have a drowning event and they stop breathing and they're at the point of going into cardiac arrest, the sooner you deliver effective ventilations and chest compressions, the more likely they are to survive. Yeah. And Laquan's original work back in the late 90s, early 2000s, pointed out if you can give ventilations and chest compressions before the actual heart stops, which is in those first 2 to 5 minutes, you have a 96-97% chance of survival with good neurological outcome. So again, how do you sell that to the parents? You say, well, listen, team, nearest emergency medical response, if you're in the UK, has to be within 8 minutes. If you're rural, a bit longer. Most likely time to have a problem? In the bath, in the swimming pool, in the yard, when you're on a day out. And for every minute that you're not doing effective ventilations, chest compressions, you're risking your child having disability, brain injury, or worst case scenario, death. Give it 15, 20 minutes, you might as well not bother. And suddenly when you start selling those numbers to people, they're like, okay, what can I do about that? And you go, no, it's dead easy. Pushy, pushy, blowy, blowy. Come and join the lifeguards. Come see how it's done.
I can see T-shirts coming out now, Margaret. I can see T-shirts, Hawaiian T-shirts saying, pumpy, pumpy, blowy, blowy, sparky, sparky. You're in.
I think that's a great T-shirt. Every kid could have one of those.
All of us should have a T-shirt that says, pushy, pushy, blowy, blowy, sparky, sparky. Sparky.
Do you know what sparky, sparky is?
It's the AED machine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I love it. I love it. So,
so that might sound kind of silly, but these are very experienced professional people who told me in this interview that the UK is having water safety education starting September 2026 based on Mike Tipton's research that a 20-minute piece of information given to kids on water safety, they were able to retain it, and it was worthwhile information, and they did that kind of study, and the UK said, great, we're going to implement it. So
I think that a dumb T-shirt is a really good and memorable way to get that message out for life-saving, you know. Make it silly, put it in your mind, right. Got it. And we've got Mayor Kawakami on the line. Hey, Mayor.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Mayor. Thank you so much for coming back on. You were our first guest a year ago in May, and it's made a big difference. You came on and supported water safety. So I have to thank you for, in your busy schedule, to come on and talk just about what you know that has happened since then. And I also want to say thank you to Alden and all your staff for being so responsive for everything that we've asked for water safety. So thank you so much. So
thank you.
You came on and I said all the terrible statistics, and then I asked you what's the good news, and you talked about our Ocean Safety Bureau. So what can you tell us, Mayor, since that time that you can tell us that's positive that we've done in the area of water safety?
Well, you know, it's not so much about like what I've done, because this is really being driven by our Ocean Safety Bureau and Kalani and his fantastic team. And none of it would be possible if we didn't have like a supportive fire chief and, you know, Chief Gibson and his entire crew. And then, of course, you know, the community support through KLA, Kauai Lifeguard Association, and Hawaii Lifeguard Association has just been phenomenal. And so since the last conversation, you know, Kalani and his team have a knack for thinking outside of the box and really engaging in the youth. And I can tell you, you know, Kalani has a fantastic story about his trials and tribulations on growing up on Kauai, not having many options, you know, when we're adolescents and coming into our own. And I really feel that his drive is to make sure that other kids have it easier, have an easier path to stay positive. And so, you know, along with the Junior Lifeguard Internship Program, which creates that pipeline for ocean-loving kids to see that, hey, there's a career that could be made out of my love for the ocean. They've been proposing an apprentice program, which, you know, goes beyond that 13-year-old age gap and kind of gets the older kids engaged in this as well. They have a junior lifeguard program pipeline and workforce development. They did a Rip Current safety clinic and public education, and they're considering doing this annually. And they even have ocean safety officers coming from Okinawa and training with our Ocean Safety Bureau here on Kauai. And it's just phenomenal what this little island has produced as far as ocean safety awareness and training people to be eyes and ears on the ocean too, to help the community out. I couldn't be prouder of those guys and all the organizations that have come together. It's phenomenal that in a year, they've really put the pedal to the metal and made this happen.
I have to agree with you. I think Kalani's been spearheading collaboration, which was great because we did the interview with Bruce Hopkins, and he was really interested, and he took it from there. He said, let's bring him on because I've got the Okinawan guards coming also. So that turned out to be a very good event, and I'm sure we'll continue to do that. That's kind of like outside the box. But one thing you didn't talk about was surfing as a sport. I know that's not really water safety, but I know everybody wants to hear about that.
They had a huge role in that. They had a huge role. And, you know, folks, remember this name, Kim Ball. He's a guy on Maui. And he's been running the Maui Interscholastic League high school surf division for, I don't know, a really long time. And, you know, I met him over a year ago, right after the Lahaina fires. I was driving around going back to the airport, and I saw a whole bunch of pop-up tents and a whole bunch of kids in the water. So I just spun into Kahului Harbor. And they were having not the very first surf meet, but I got to see the very first high school surf meet. And so I talked to Kim, and without even blinking, he said, whatever Kauai needs, I can help you guys get it started. And, you know, I got to thank the principals, our complex area superintendent, the head of KIF, and all the athletic directors for allowing this to happen, really, because most of them don't surf. And so it took a whole bunch of non-surfers to believe in this sport, that this is Hawaii's sport, that this is another avenue for kids who may not be into your traditional sports like baseball, soccer, football, so on and so forth, to give them a positive outlet. And the beautiful thing about high school surfing, they're not looking for the next world champ, but if he or she comes through that pipeline, hey, what a victory. They're just looking for kids who want to enjoy the sport of surfing. I've seen everybody from beginners, intermediate, to rippers that are probably going to make a career out of this. And, you know, it's a huge thing for Kauai in the state of Hawaii. And, you know, like early on, I helped with Coach Mac, Ray Pygott from Westside Wrestling, to help bring wrestling as a KIF sport. And as I kind of like wind down my time as mayor, because, you know, my second term is coming up, to see surfing become a high school sport, it's like icing on the cake. And none of it would have been possible without all the volunteers, the sponsors, and then, of course, our Ocean Safety Bureau helping out with training. I mean, it's just amazing what this community does. It's really something else. And, you know, ocean safety even cross-trained with DLNR and their DOCARE officers to get their DOCARE officers certified on jet skis and that type of watercraft. So, you know, the collaboration that happens on Kauai, I think, really is the model for what the state could look at as far as potential. But this is what the whole world needs right now. It's just like people coming together to get positive things done.
That's absolutely right. And that's what we've been doing on the show. I was just talking to Annie. By next month, we probably have done 36 interviews, everywhere from Dubai to Italy to New Zealand to Australia to the UK and here in the United States. And it's exactly what you're saying. These are people who are professionals in water safety, who do research and are willing to share their knowledge and want to collaborate and want to do whatever they can to decrease drowning as a public health crisis in the world and also here on Hawaii. I was just amazed at people who want to come on the show. Some gentleman who is the medical director for His Majesty's Coast Guard took a vacation with his family for the first time in a long time, and he came on the show while his whole family was having dinner and doing that. And he really just wanted to talk about how important it is and all the information they have, and they just wanted to share it. So you're exactly right. And I think Kauai and your office and Kalani and his group have been very responsive in seeing the opportunities to collaborate. And I think we've learned and they've learned from us. When I interviewed Tashi Otano from Okinawa, he said to me something very interesting. He said, to be safe in the water will make you smile. And I thought,
oh, absolutely. You know, it's the one thing that keeps me positive. You know, most people on Hawaii know that my favorite, you know, pastime has just been getting into the ocean and catching a few waves. And it's not even about catching the waves. It connects you to Earth. And it makes you realize, it makes us realize how small we really are and how vulnerable we really are. And I think it's very humbling to be in the ocean. Like, we're always taught to respect it, to never turn our back on her. And you know, calm waters, you know, could hide real dangers, so always proceed with caution. And you know, being that we're in Hawaii, like I've always said, I would wish that more elected officials would find some sort of ocean related activity, because I really think it would be a good way for them to be centered. There's something spiritual about it, but there's something also very humbling, and it fills your heart with gratitude. The ocean is so healing. And as you can tell, this topic gets me kind of excited and passionate, because I truly believe if we can get more people into the ocean, it has a way of healing us, and I truly believe in that.
I agree with you. I outrigger paddle, not competitively anymore, but everything you said is absolutely true. And now I paddle with a group of people over the age of 55 in the morning, and we've got more and more people coming, and everything you said is true. It is really important to get in the ocean. It grounds you. It's healing. And it's very healthy. And the more people we can get in the ocean to experience that, I think the better. So I can't say enough about you as a water person and avid surfer. But when you came on the first time, you said, we got our messaging all wrong. Do you have anything more to say about messaging now that we have you back on?
I think the work that our Ocean Safety Bureau and the Kauai Lifeguard Association speaks volumes as far as messaging. And, you know, if there's one thing that I've learned, is sometimes the best spokesperson and the best messenger are those folks that are actually out there doing all the work. And, you know, as I have grown into this role as a mayor, I have learned so many wonderful lessons about life. And sometimes I don't have to be the messenger, but if I had to deliver a message, is that we all have a responsibility for ocean safety. And even if that means you learning basic flotation skills or survival skills, Even if it's teaching your children small things like always respecting the ocean, and even if it's calm, you never turn your back on her. I really think that you folks really set the bar, but it's also the community's responsibility to look out for one another. You know, one of the things I say is, I don't care where you come from. As soon as you land on Kauai and you put your feet on our soil, you are part of our ohana. But with that comes kuleana, comes responsibility, like any family. And everybody has some weight to carry when it comes to looking out for one another, making sure that everybody is safe, and also educating themselves about ocean safety.
That's well said. And I think we should continue talking about this. As I've talked to Allison Schaefer, who wrote the water safety plan, she goes, well, maybe we haven't made as much progress. We didn't get the bills taken in, but now we have resolutions that are for lifeguards as first responders and the water safety plan. But she also said, people are talking more. We're getting more people aware about water safety, and that we had a high drowning rate, and the Rip Current Clinic that people went into. The response from that was great, and more people want that experience, not to be scared in the ocean. Like you said, if we can get more people in to be safe and understand, and it's our responsibility as a community to do that. I also think that we should look at a message to our visitors that gives them the information that lots of us have said we don't want to, you know, we don't want to scare them away. But I think if you give people information, they can make decisions, especially around snorkeling, especially around watching the ocean for 20 minutes before you go in. All those tips that, as you, as an avid water person, understand and is part of growing up here and knowing that. We need to share that information with everyone, even the new people that have come to our island to live. As you said, it's part of our kuleana, and they're part of our ohana.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is a good segue for me to really thank the State of Hawaii Department of Transportation under the direction of Ed Sniffen, who's a phenomenal director, but also the Airports Division, because they have allowed the County of Kauai and our Ocean Safety Bureau to basically loop safety messages in regards to ocean recreation and activities. You know, it gives them good guidance. I think the next evolution is to sort of try to work with an airline that is willing to partner with us so that we can speak directly to a captive audience while they're on their way here, to educate our visitors about how they can have a great time. And one of our biggest concerns is that they are able to go back home with all of their loved ones and come back over and over and over again, without any sort of tragedy. And, you know, that's going to be a monumental task. I know many people have tried it before, but it's something that I think we're going to reinvigorate and start talking to them again, see if they'd be willing to do that.
I think that makes total sense. We did that from the show and wrote to them using Brian Kaolana's video that was done and kind of in their media piece in Hawaiian Airlines, but it was tucked away somewhere. And our suggestion was, it's such a great piece, they should use that. They don't have to invent anything else. It's well done. It's culturally involved. It's all about safety. But we haven't heard anything, and I know they're in the middle of their merger with Alaskan Airlines. So we'll just keep pursuing it. And I know that you're going to keep doing the good work you're doing wherever you go. And we know we're going to be talking to you more about water safety down the road. But one last thing I'd like to ask you about, because County Council here in Kauai next Thursday is going to be bringing up a resolution of ocean lifeguards being first responders. And that has been said to me across the board on every interview I've done, that the first 2 to 5 minutes are critical, and that's where lifeguards end up
right there at the very beginning of any incident. So do you know any more
Absolutely.
About that?
Well, I know that they have a resolution that yeah. they're introducing, and you know, and here I always assume that ocean safety officers and lifeguards are first responders. It's the most common sense thing that we could think of. They are absolutely first responders. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Like they say, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And these ocean safety officers are brave hearts. The men and women that are in those towers or on those roving jet skis are absolute first responders. And you know, another group that I want to give a big shout out to, because they are also involved in that whole chain of responses, the first responders, which is our dispatchers. And I know that there's a movement to designate our dispatchers as first responders. And, you know, without them, there is no response.
Right.
Because you need to have somebody pick up that phone to navigate somebody on what to do and to designate the appropriate agency to help those folks out. And so, yeah, lifeguards and ocean safety officers, without a doubt, deserve that designation.
Right. I think we're moving in the right direction. As anybody internationally has told me, it's a team approach. And everybody has to have that category of expertise. And the lifeguards are first responders. And I think you're right to say the dispatchers need to be acknowledged also as part of that team, because every second counts in any kind of incident. So,
absolutely. And you know, we're going to go and celebrate, I call it Dispatcher Day, but it's the official name, I think, is telecommunication something something, but it's a day where we honor the hard work of those men and women that are sitting behind the scenes, that 365 days, 24 hours a day, come hell or high water, in good weather and bad weather, through disasters, they are there making sure that those phone lines are manned. And so I think this conversation we're having today about ocean safety, talking about first responders and who are really designated as first responders, just aligns itself perfectly with talking about dispatchers and everything else under the sun.
I agree. There is a first responders roundup that's being held in California with the Ben Carlson Foundation. Drasko Bogdanovic, who's a lifeguard also we've had on the show, he and Justin Semstrat are putting it on, but it's everywhere, everybody from dispatch all the way up to air medical and people that are treating them, all in a training session for two consecutive days. And I think that makes a lot of sense, everybody working together on an issue like that.
Absolutely.
Yep. So thank you so much for coming on, and we look forward to working with you in the future. And we can't say enough about your work that you've done here for Kauai, and specifically for this program. Mayor Kawakami, I really appreciate it. You're an avid water person, and everything you've said here really resonates with people, and it helps to amplify the message that drowning is preventable. And I hope to see you in the future in a role that we can keep talking about this.
Thank you so very, very much. And no matter where I am in the world, I will always push ocean safety, and I'll always talk to anybody that wants to talk about it.
Oh,
and I
want
to thank you folks for really raising awareness and making this a high priority topic of discussion.
Thank
All
you.
All right.
Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
thank you. You guys have a great day.
Okay. Thanks, Mayor.
Aloha, Mayor.
Waves are good if you know where to look. That's all I can say. Okay. I don't know. I don't know about now, though. The wind shifted, but definitely if you know where to look, you could get some, and I got some, so I'm happy as a clam. You guys have a great day.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Kauai Community Radio. It's KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, and I've got a few messages for us to listen to right now.
The Hawaiian Music Calendar is supported by HawaiianMusicStore.com. Mahalo, HawaiianMusicStore.com, for your support.
Hi.
Aloha kakahia kakako. Welcome to our Hawaiian music calendar for Friday. On the North Shore, the Tahiti Nui Restaurant and Lounge features live music from 6:30 in the bar, with karaoke in the luau room from 7 to 10. The Hanalei Gourmet features Mitsu and Vicky Yokotake from 5 to 7. The Western Princeville Ocean Villas features Michael Keali from 5:30 to 7:30. The Happy Talk Lounge at the Hanalei Bay Resort in Princeville features Michael Ruff and Friends from 6 to 9. Ainaiho Community Gardens features Aloha Fridays in Kane Kapila from 5:30 to 8:30. On the east side, there is a hula show featuring Leilani Rivera-Lowe and Halahula Olelani at 5 p.m. the Coconut Marketplace Shopping Center in Waipoli. The Crooked Surf Restaurant at the Sheraton Coconut Beach Hotel in Waipoli features Pono Nero from 5:30 to 7:30. The Huki Lalanai Seafood Restaurant in Waipoli features Pancho Graham from 5:30 to 8:30. The Lava Lava Beach Club at the Kauai Shores Hotel in Kapa'a features Tim Hogarty from 6 to 9. The Napali Brewing Company in Kapa'a features Shiloh Pa from 6 to 8. Rob's Good Time Grill in Lihue features Loki Sassel from 5 to 7. On the South Shore, the Sea View Terrace at the Grand Hyatt in Po'epu features Sheldon Espina from 7:30 to 9:30. Bangkok Happy Bowl and Thai Bistro features Falling Down Romance from 6 to 8. Muchu Aloha in Koloa features Troy Wai'ali'ali from 5 to 7:30. The Kauai Island Brewery at the Port Allen Marina in Ale'ale features Frank Cruz from 5 to 7. Cabanas at the Po'epu Athletic Club features Kyle LeBenz from 5:30 to 8. Keoke's Paradise Bar and Grill in Po'epu features Kavai Ola from 4 to 6 in the dining room and 7 to 8:30 with Jojo in the bar. On the west side, Nick Castillo is at the Koke'e Lodge from 12:30 to 2:30. The saddle room at the Wrangler Steakhouse in Waimea features the Triple T's from 6 to 8. And Japanese Grandma's features Darren Kiyotsuka at 6. Mahalo nui loa. Have a great Hawaiian day.
The 4th annual High Country Kauai with leftover salmon at Ainaiho Community Porter Pavilion in Kilauea at 6:15 p.m. April 17th through the 19th. Leftover salmon glide from bluegrass born on the front porch to the down and dirty Cajun swamps with a stop on Bourbon Street, New Orleans, to the hollowed Ryman Halls of Nashville, ending up in the mountains of Colorado. More info is available at 808-828-2118. And website is ainaiho.org. That's ainaiho.org.
The Waipa Foundation's third annual Aina Festival is on Sunday, May 3rd from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Halulu Fish Pond in Waipa, located a half mile past Hanalei Town. There will be live music, food, and cultural activities celebrating everything Aina, featuring local artisans, crafters, hands-on keiki activities, and a water slide too. Website is waipafoundation.org, 808-826-9969.
Thanks for all of those messages. Thanks to Mayor Kawakami for joining us here on Deep Dive into Water Safety, too. He's been very generous with his time to talk about this big issue, you know?
Well, he's a water person. He's an avid surfer, and he sees the need. And I thought it was interesting this time around. He said, we need to get more people in the ocean to experience its, you know, healing properties, making people feel great, you mm-hmm. know?
And not turning your back on the ocean, you know, it's a big one. So, and I think it's good for elected officials to get in that mindset. Like, it, you know, we don't want people to die on Kauai ever, you know, and that's including our visitor population, because it makes it puts a blight on us when they do.
Yeah, and the more information we can give them through messaging, the better, so they can make really good decisions. And I think we're moving in that direction. We didn't have a whole lot of time to talk to them about messaging, But one of the things that has come out of the interviews we're just hearing right now is they did a very interesting thing in Ireland that made a huge difference. They have the Gaelic Athletic Association, which is football in Ireland is, I guess, the roughest sport there is. It makes rugby look like nothing, and they don't wear any kind of padding or anything. So what happened in that is they have like a Super Bowl of this Gaelic sport, and they brought all the lifeboats into at halftime, and with all the Royal Navy lifeboat people, life-saving people, and they played on the overhead screens their piece on drowning and drowning prevention.
So instead of having a major celebrity do a halftime show, they brought their water
safety campaign to the, and it was very effective.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing.
The only other thing I can say we're doing here is when I talked to Alyssa Magrum, who's the National Drowning Prevention Alliance person. This summer, she and this gentleman who lost his son, they're going to every professional baseball game in each state. And during the wave that they do in the game, they're going to be doing a drowning prevention piece.
Whoa, okay.
That's pretty out of the box.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is. What do you say to people when they're like, oh, well, talking about drowning is just a bummer. Like, what do you tell people? You know, I don't want to hear about dying. It's vacation time, you know?
I think you have to be safe in the ocean. Anybody, as the mayor says, who's been in the ocean, it's humbling. You must respect it. You must take time to look at it. And you have to understand it. So drowning is something that is preventable. And that's what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
By doing this kind of messaging.
I was sort of a jerk on a show earlier this week when they were talking about drowning. It was on Mackay Watch and kind of talking about like the bummer that ocean safety messaging can kind of be and ruining vacations and things like that. And I was like, absolutely not. Like, and it is bummer messaging. It totally is. It's terrible. But I was like, do you want to be alive? Like, say it, like, am I the jerk that's going to say all the bad things? It's like, I probably am. And
That's true, because look at all the other safety issues we have. We have layers of protection with cars. We now have seat belts, and we have all kinds of issues. We have
fire safety.
We've got
all of those layers of protection in that way. And then fire safety initiatives, all of that.
Speed limits.
I know. I was just a jerk. I was like, no, stay alive, man. Pay attention.
It's just another issue. It's being safe in the water.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that with other areas. We need to do it with water.
Yeah. So you can find the 2025 Water Safety Plan. Where can you look for that?
We have it on our archive and website.
Yeah, our archive website. Mm-hmm.
But if you just Google Hawaii Water Safety Plan, it's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy to download. And it, as Allison Schaefer told me, she wrote it for everyone to be able to look at and utilize and become familiar with. And when we started the show, that's what we did. We started interviewing people they identified in that plan in our beginning piece.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there's a lot of very good information people can read and understand, and a lot of things that a lot of people didn't know about, right?
Yeah. So, and you can also listen to all of the interviews that Margaret has performed at kkcr.org. Look for the archives and the deep dive there. You can also listen to us in podcast form and take water safety with you on your drive and while you're doing yard work, while you're taking a walk, and learn about the initiatives that people have put in place in other countries that we are collaborating with actively here on Kauai and in Hawaii State. Very interesting stuff. If you or someone you know is an audio artist or a visual artist, we are looking for someone that wants to take on the editing of the shows, making clips, making social media reels to make it short, digestible, soundbitey, and really doing it. We're looking for grant funding and for a person that knows how to do all of those things, because the show has momentum and the content has value, and little old me doesn't have a lot of time with running a radio station and stuff. So I would love to have someone with energy and vision that knows how to do these types of things. So give me a call at 826-7774 or email me gm@kkcr.org. And final words.
It's been great working with you, Annie, for the last year, and I think we're making progress, like the mayor said. So we'll just keep pushing till we get water safety in the schools.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for all your work.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening to Kauai Community Radio. This has been Deep Dive into Water Safety. Visit us online and stay tuned for more great information. Here's Olali, our kind of our theme song by the Haku Keiki from Nakamakai.
For every surfer,